Good morning. This is Dana Sarig with Vital Ministries. My husband, Mike Sarig, who is actually the voice of Vital Ministries, is getting a well-deserved break. So this is my second Sunday to sit in for Mike. And I would have to say I'm really enjoying myself and also being a help to him. Now that I will be with you one more Sunday, Mike will be back, and when he gets back, he will be kicking off Vital Men in September, and he will also be speaking at Vital Gathering at Debbie's Celebration Barn the second Sunday of September, which will be September 12th. Also, with Vital Ministries, I write the life application devotions. I really enjoy writing those because I really like helping others learn how to apply God's word to their lives. I know that for myself, it has been a process of learning how to do that and reading scripture and just figuring out how it applies to my life. So if I can help others learn how to do that or get nuggets from that, I'm glad to do that. That's a joy for me. Today, we will be looking into what it means how do you please God and not man? That's where I'm going. Pleasing God and not man. What does that mean to do that? What does that look like? What does that mean to you? Sometimes that can be difficult because when there are people right in front of you, you usually want to please them first. But we also, as believers, need to know that it's God that we need to please first. And that has been a lifelong journey for myself as well. So let's get started with what does it mean to please God, not man? Today I'm going to read from 2 Samuel 8, verses 1 through 20, and I'm in the New International Version. When I read this, some background will be set for us. We will get to see God keep his promises. We will get to see what King David did to please God. And what was going on in his life at that time. So I'm going to read 2 Samuel 8, 1 through 18. Well, I guess 1 through 18, not 1 through 20. 1 through 18 in the New International Version. David's victories. In the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And he took Metheg, Ammah, from the control of the Philistines. Now there's going to be some names in here and different things. I'm going to do my very best to pronounce them. Bear with me. So if I do a little goof up, give me grace because there are some different names in here. I've practiced, but I may mess up. So continuing on. David also defeated the Moabites. He made them lie down on the ground and measured them off with a length of cord. Every two lengths of them were put to death, and the third length was allowed to live. So the Moabites became subject to David and brought him tribute. Moreover, David defeated Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah, when he went to restore his monument at the Euphrates River. David captured 1,000 of his chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He hamstrung all but 100 of the chariot horses. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 of them. He put garrisons in the Aramean kingdom of Damascus, and the Arameans became subject to him and brought him tribute. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. So So I'm going to read that again. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. Continuing on. David took the gold shields that belonged to the officers of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem from Taba and Berothai, towns that belonged to Hadadezer. King David took a great quantity of bronze. When Tou, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, he sent his son Joram to King David to greet him and congratulate him on his victory in battle over Hadadezer, who had been at war with Tou. Joram brought him articles of silver, of gold, and of bronze. King David dedicated these articles to the Lord as he had done with the silver and gold from all the nations he had subdued: Edom and Moab, the Ammonites and the Philistines and Amalek. He also dedicated the plunder taken from Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David became famous after he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became subject to David. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. I'm going to read that again. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David's officials. David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people. I'm going to read that again. David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahulib, was recorder. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, were priests. Seraiah was secretary. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and Pelethites, and David's sons were priests. Now, when I read things in the Bible, verses and different scripture, I'm thinking, so what's all this for? What does this mean? I can remember way back reading lists of names and lists of, you know, generations through in Genesis. And I can remember having different things come out at me. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? You know, it would make me think. So when you're reading, even when you're reading something that has all these names and just what they did, there are nuggets in there where God is talking to you. So we're going to break this down so that we can apply God's word to our own lives. So the first part, I'm going to categorize this as the fulfilling of a promise. So in 2 Samuel that I read, 8:1-5, this part is a fulfilling of a promise. In the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them, and he took Metheg Amma from the control of the Philistines. David also defeated the Moabites. He made them lie down on the ground and measured them off with a length of cord. Every two lengths of them were put to death, and the third length was allowed to live. So the Moabites became subject to David and brought him tribute. So the Moabites became subject to David and brought him tribute. Moreover, David defeated Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. When he went to restore the monument at the Euphrates River, David captured 1,000 of his chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He hamstrung all but 100 of the chariot horses. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 of them. So what does this say? In these verses, 1 through 5, there is a fulfilling of a promise. What is this promise? God made a promise to David. This promise was that the enemies of Israel would be defeated and would not oppress them. This promise was happening for Israel and King David right then and there. God helped David defeat the opposing nations. Long ago, God had made a promise to Abraham that Israel would control the land. And a promise that God makes is kept. Sometimes we wonder when the promise will come about, but God will keep his promise. He was carrying out this promise in King David's generation. God was fulfilling his plans and promises in his perfect timing. So, thinking about promises, what does it mean when God makes a promise? Did you know that you can claim a promise for your life? All through God's word, you will read about his promises. And he keeps his promises. And he works them out. Sometimes we try to force something to get done and we work all the details out. Sometimes we just have to wait. And sometimes waiting can be really hard. But God is always working things out for your betterment. There will be times when you cannot see a promise being kept. You may be in a hurry or you may be on your own timing. You need to trust that God fulfills his promises according to his timing and his planning. In 2 Peter 3, 9, I'm going to read that for you so that you can know that you can have promises for your life and they can be fulfilled. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Ephesians 2:12. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Once you become a believer in God, and you follow him, and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you can claim promises in your life. You are not separate from Christ anymore. You are part of his family. You are to live within the covenants and boundaries that God places, because those boundaries are for your well-being and your betterment. He doesn't want you to come to harm. He doesn't want to do things that hurt you. If you are hooked on drugs or alcohol, or you know you're doing, if you're lying or stealing or cheating, those things are not good for you. They're not for your betterment. They harm you. They deteriorate you. God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to be one with Christ. He wants you to be living within his boundaries and his commands, because he knows those are for your betterment. And he wants you to know you can count on God's promises as truth. Now I'm going to look at 2 Samuel 8:6. I want to think about when God fulfills a promise or is carrying out a promise. What do you do? So, how do you do this? David followed God's lead as he saw the promise being carried out right before him Let's read verse 6 and see what he did. He, meaning David, put garrisons in the Aramean kingdom of Damascus, and the Arameans became subject to him and brought tribute. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. Now, God knew that Israel needed support to function. The tribute money was used for Israel's government function. It also showed that Israel was in control. God was giving David and Israel victory as David worked out God's will within the promise of defeating the enemies and possessing the land. So David was working within God's will. So I always think God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so David was working out the will of God. He was within the promise that God had made way back with Abraham, saying they would possess the land. And David was defeating the enemies and possessing the land. When God makes a promise, he also works it out. What does that mean? I'm going to read in Exodus 6:7 for kind of some supporting scripture. I will make you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Now, the Jewish people didn't get out on their own strength. They were brought out because the Lord, it was his will for them. He brought them out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. They did what they were supposed to do. He gave them instructions and they carried out those instructions and obeyed him. That's part of our job, is being obedient to God's commands as a believer in Jesus Christ. Here's some more scripture. Deuteronomy 3:22. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. Did you know God will fight for you? You don't have to be afraid. You do not have to be afraid of man, of circumstances. You have God in your corner as a believer, and he will fight for you. And you, when you talk with him and tell him your concerns and ask for your needs to be met, he will fight for you. What promises are being worked out in your life right now? What promises have you claimed? 15 years ago, probably more like 20 years ago, I didn't really realize what I was asking for. I asked for righteousness, peace, and joy for my life. I didn't have it. I was lost. I was trying to find my way. At the time, I was not fully aware of what I was asking for, but as time has passed, I am living the promise and the process of all three. Romans 3:22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that again. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. So, I believe in Jesus, and righteousness is being worked out in my salvation through Jesus Christ. In John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. I'm going to say that again. In this world you will have trouble. You can count on it. But take heart. I like that. Take heart. I have overcome the world. I have peace. He tells me truth that the world will have trouble. And obviously, there's a lot of trouble going on right now. But I have peace because I know Jesus has overcome, and I hold on to that. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Joy only comes from the Lord. There will be times, and I will say, there will be times my soul sings, and it is so, it's such a great feeling. There'll be times I'll be driving home from work or, you know, just driving, and then I just think, it's like I get this fresh feeling in my soul, and it's singing. And because I know I have the Lord, and He has me, and I'm so grateful for that. So I feel joy. Now I'm going into the main part, pleasing God, not man. It's so important to please God first and not man. I'm going to continue in 2 Samuel 8, 7 through 18. David took the gold shields that belonged to the officers of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem from Tabah and Berothae, towns that belonged to Hadadezer. King David took a great quantity of bronze. When Tou, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, he sent his son, Joram, to King David to greet him and congratulate him on his victory in battle over Hadadezer, who had been at war with Tou. Joram brought with him articles of silver, of gold, and of bronze. King David dedicated these articles to the Lord. I'm going to say that again. King David dedicated these articles to the Lord, as he had done with the silver and gold from all the nations he had subdued. Edom and Moab, the Ammonites and the Philistines, and Amalek. He also dedicated the plunder taken from Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David became famous after he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became subject to David. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was recorder. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Amielech, son of Abiathar, were priests. Sariah was secretary. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and Pelethites, and David's sons were priests. Now here's some key things. David put God first and pleased him first. That is very important. This is something that's also notable. When there is a godly leader leading people, every time Israel had a godly leader, they flourished. Whenever they had a leader who was corrupt and were idol worship, they were a mess. So you can see from their example, godly leader, flourish, ungodly leader, total mess. So when there is a godly leader leading people, and this godly leader looks to please God first, this is so awesome. The people under this leader are blessed. They get to be blessed. So this godly leader brings blessing to the land, and they get blessing. And the people are pleased. David did not try to become popular. He did not try to become accepted in the public eye. He strived to do what was right in God's eyes. God was pleased with David, and the people respected him. David was fair with law interpretation, administering punishment and mercy, respecting people's rights, and he recognized the people's duty toward God. Israel trusted and followed King David because David trusted and followed God. David did not worry about pleasing people. He pleased God first. How do you please God first? What can you do today to please God? I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 4. Living to please God. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And in that matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. What can you do? So, this is what I get out of it. How do you please God first? Be honorable and treat others with mercy and grace. Be compassionate and have concern for others. Help others. Mind your own business. Don't gossip and mind other people's business. Don't talk behind another person's back. Have a person's back and look out for the well-being of others. Edify with your speaking. Work and make a living. God knows that when you work and make a living for yourself, that brings gratification and purpose. God gave you strengths and talents. Use them and work with them. Working builds your character and self-worth. So those are some things you can do today to please God. Be honorable, be compassionate, mind your own business, and work and make a living. I think that's very good advice. I want to thank you today for listening. It's been fun speaking with you today. I had a lot of material. I hope you were able to glean some nuggets from the different things that I read to you today and the different teachings that I gave you. I pray that you have joy in your life journey with God, our Father, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our Helper. Always know that you are a beautiful work in progress, and always know that God loves you. If you have any needs or questions, go to vitalministries.org for men's daily devotions and daily life application devotions. And I want you to know that that you are a joy to the Lord, and that when you put Him first, and you work to please Him first, you will reap such joy, peace, righteousness, those very things I asked for, righteousness, peace, and joy, and just by putting Him first. And so I want to thank you for listening to Vital Ministries, and I hope you have a very blessed day.